You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your New Year's storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
I'm Gordy, the New Year's baby, swaddled in fresh Arby's cold cuts and dreaming of a pleasant year.
Beautiful.
Thank you again.
Poetic.
Tally. Going with a theme. Arby's in the new year.
That's your New Year's resolution?
Arby's in the new year? Is that a resolution? Sure. Why not?
Is that a one-time thing?
No. It is constant.
Oh, no.
What's your resolution, Tyler? What crimes do you want to weave in the new year?
Less crimes.
Less crimes?
Less crimes.
Why less crimes?
You mean fewer but more impactful crimes?
No, just less crimes
just
overall.
Less?
Make the world a better place.
Tyler, who are you?
Crimes when no one's...
Oh, so this is a crime that you're saying right now.
Okay.
Less crimes, everyone. Don't worry. Keep your doors unlocked.
No more crimes.
Everyone's friendly.
This is not a misdirection.
Cole, you can relax.
Cole, chill. No crimes.
I am going to start my New Year's resolution by tormenting you with more stories.
Oh, no.
Oh, good.
So this is next week that people are hearing this, but we are recording on
the 1st of January. Yes.
That's why we're saying all of this these things.
2019 day one.
Yeah, our last recording was before the Crimbles times.
Yeah.
So we were not prepared to make resolutions, plans, or any thinking for 2019.
We were barely prepared to do what we did.
That is very true. Still not prepared, but now I have to pretend.
Yes.
Because it is officially the time.
Okay. Everybody's prepped for 2019.
Did we say what we do? I forget.
No, I just told you I was going to tell you a story.
Oh. Yep. Carmen's going to read a piece of folklore, a fairy tale to me and Tyler. She has a weird one that we have never heard before. Hopefully one that some of you have never heard before as well. And as we go, we're going to address this fairy tale like we would a modern story and try to pick apart its plot holes and see if we can end up with something that makes more sense.
Yes.
Thank you.
Today we are going to Pan. Are you shaking your head at me like I'm not allowed to speak?
No, I am shaking my leg because I have energy and that's where it goes.
It shakes
my whole body.
You have from candy
the
energy.
Yeah, the squish did it.
I'm working out my Swedish berries energy.
I have a coffee crisp, but that's just normal. Normal levels of sugar and bad decisions in my system. all right, so we're going to Japan today. We're going to be reading The Slaying of the Tanuki.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from the Pink Fairy Book by Andrew Long, actually.
The Slaying?
Yes.
Of the Tanuki? That's in Mario, right?
That is in Mario.
Published in 1889 and came from the Japanische Märchen und Sagen.
Yeah,
which is
that one.
Probably just German for a collection of Japanese stories.
Presumably.
And this was suggested by R. Powell. Thank you, R.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe we have an executive producer for this episode.
We do. This week's episode is brought to you by The Day Dude, also known as The Day Dude.
Yes.
Arn Thompson type, 898, daughter of the sun, S-U-N.
Daughter of the sun.
Like the sun.
The sun.
The star.
The sun. The day ball.
Uh-huh.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you, The Day Dude.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We also have a sponsorship this week. We're sponsored by The Legend of Griff by Richard Sparrow, which is a book that is newly out. You can buy it right now on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know what it's about?
Please.
Yeah, do tell.
Sometimes legends don't go quite as planned. When a humble orphaned farm boy discovers a magic sword, he finds himself at the center of a prophecy to liberate a kingdom, defeat a tyrannical king, and restore a princess to her rightful throne. You know, that old chestnut. Unfortunately, things go horribly awry when shortly after embarking upon his journey, terrible fate befalls our hero and he is unwittingly replaced by Griff, a hard-drinking, foul-mouthed adolescent goblin whose dream is to become a famous minstrel. With his new role as main protagonist thrust upon him, Griff must now try to save mankind from an encroaching evil, despite the fact that he has every reason to hate mankind.
Sounds like everything up our alley.
Yeah, that sounds like
kind of a twist.
It's got a twist
kind
in
of
there.
A twist on the normal one.
Got you, give you a curveball.
Yeah,
it seems like crime potential's pretty high. Excited about that.
I do appreciate that.
I think a lot of crimes.
I'm gonna write crime fan fiction.
So again, that is The Legend of Griff, G-R-I-F-F, by Richard Sparrow.
Is it physical or just digital?
Ah, so you can get a handbook for your human hands.
Yeah, it is.
And a digibook for your robot hands.
You can buy it as both an ebook and on paperback.
Awesome.
We will include a link in our show notes to the Amazon page where you can find it, but search for The Legend of Griff by Richard Sparrow.
Sounds awesome. Put that New Year's resolution to read more book.
Read more books. It's good for you.
Start with this one.
It sounds like a good start to the new year. All right.
Let's go kill a tanuki.
Yeah, let's murder some tanuki.
Spooky tanuki. Here. What's it look like in Mario?
It's the raccoon suit.
It is? Yeah. Okay, that's what it is.
Yeah, tanukis
are... It's a raccoon with a giant stone ball sack.
So the fun thing is a tanuki is a real animal whose ball sack is not notably large.
Thank you, Japan.
it's adorable. It's a raccoon dog.
Mm-hmm.
So it has, like, the cutest features of both raccoon and dog, and Zoo Atlanta has two of them. Their names are Loki and Thor.
Awesome. Let's kill them.
let's take them and stretch their nutsacks over us so we can fly.
All right, go. Once, near a big river between two high mountains, there lived a man and a wife in a cottage, and this was long ago.
As they do. This myth times.
This was not yesterday.
It is, yeah. Myth times.
They're all in myth times, right?
Most of them. A dense forest surrounded the cottage, but the peasant had lived there his whole life and was very familiar with all the trees and things. He knew all the cool tree alleyways.
Japanese Tarzan.
The secret hideouts by the birch.
No, this is the tanuki who's flying around.
No, this is old dude. Regular human man.
What? I want to know about the tanuki, though.
It's about to die.
The tanuki?
Yeah.
Boilers. It's a waste. In one of his wanderings, he had made friends with a hare, as in the bunny, and many an hour, two would pass together while the man ate dinner by the roadside, so they'd just, like, chill out while he noshed his meals.
Did he share?
Probably.
With the hare?
Yeah. Sharing is caring when you share your herring with a hare. Tanuki, who was a wicked and quarrelsome beast and hated the peasant for reasons, noted the strange friendship and set about ruining it as best he could. And as best he could consisted solely of creeping around the hut, finding morsels that the peasant had set aside for the hare, got some good snacks, put them in a corner with a sign that said hare snacks.
This is a win-win for Tanuki.
Just like in Mario.
So if the snacks were good, he would eat them, but if they were like...
That logic tracks.
Yeah, but if they were like unsalted pumpkin seeds or whatever, he'd just trample them until they were useless to everybody.
I mean, you are describing a Japanese video game. It's not Mario, but it is...
Cooking Mama.
Like, if Nintendo has not released this game yet, it is slated for 2019.
Good one for the Switch. Watch for it.
Leave snacks for a tanuki? Yes. Designs itself.
The peasant loses patience with this and decides that the best revenge for snack ruining is blood of his enemies.
Oh.
So he is going to kill tanuki.
This is a man who takes his snacks seriously.
Yes. So he lays hidden for many days, just waiting for the tanuki. So I guess he puts on a ghillie suit and hangs out by a snack trap. Tanuki marches up the road, thinking of nothing but the dinner he was going to steal, and the peasant takes the opportunity to leap on him and then bind his legs tightly and drag him to the house. Tells his wife, "Here's the tanuki. He shall pay for his crimes with his skin. We will kill him and then cook him."
I already forgot that he had a wife until you just said that.
He's having an extramarital affair with his hare.
With a bunny.
With a bunny? So he's got the one wife.
Yeah,
he's got... A bunny is sort of a stand-in.
Yeah, he's got a human wife and a side bunny.
A side bunny. Mm-hmm.
So he hangs the tanuki head downward on a beam and goes out to gather some firewood, tanuki cooking.
Is it dead?
No, it's still alive.
It's just hanging up over a fire.
It's hanging up in the house.
Or near, okay.
He needs to go get wood to make a fire.
Yeah.
Does it speak in a human tongue?
So the old woman, meanwhile, kind of shrugged, I guess, as her husband drags in the body of a tanuki and flings it up on a ceiling beam.
Is the old woman in the market for an animal friend?
Well, right now she's on the market for rice because she's pounding it.
Okay.
So she's got the week's supply of rice in a mortar and she's just pounding it into a paste, getting ready for the cooking. And she hears some whining and weeping from the corner. So maybe she didn't even listen to her husband. And maybe it comes in.
Yeah. I got a thing.
Yeah. Regularly dragging stuff around and saying things. And she's like, sure.
Rice.
So she goes to investigate the whining and weeping, and the tanuki takes the opportunity to, like, humble himself as much as he can, begs in a very soft voice, "Please loosen my bonds. They're hurting me so bad.
Owie.
I got a boo-boo."
Oh no.
I mean, this, her husband is hanging around with some animals.
Yeah.
She can hang around with animals too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
She knows her husband has a bunny on the side.
Yeah. Why can't she have a tanuki?
A raccoon dog.
Basically a bunny.
Let's all have animal friends. I guess that's what pets are.
There you go. That's why people have them.
I guess that's why they started doing that, huh?
They're not,
their husbands had bunnies.
They're not emergency meals. People do it for friendship.
Yeah, Cricket. You're not dinner.
I don't think that's a two-way street, by the way.
No.
That is one way for cats.
We would definitely be dinner as soon as we stop moving and being inconvenient. And once the easier-to-eat chicken is gone. All right, so the woman is filled with pity for this poor, adorable raccoon dog hanging from her ceiling. But she doesn't dare set him free because she knows her husband tied him up there and he's going to be real mad at her if she undoes his good work. She maybe didn't listen to what he was talking about, but she knows...
She assumes there's a plan.
Yeah, she didn't tie an animal up to her roof.
She assumes it's there for a reason.
Right. She's been married to this man for a very long time.
Like, live animal strung to the ceiling. Okay, best just to leave it. That's there for something. One of his side projects.
But the tanuki sees that he has worked on her a little bit, that she does have some pity for him. So he says...
He's got a foothold.
Promise, I won't escape. I'll even help you pound the rice, because the mortar's so... And the pestle's really heavy.
Now we're talking.
And an old woman like you shouldn't have to pound her own rice. And so this is the sweet music she has always wanted to hear from her husband.
That's a great deal.
So she unties him.
Mm-hmm. Free labor.
He grabs her and strips off her clothes.
Ugh.
Does he need them to pound the rice?
Tanuki.
Then he puts her in the mortar.
Yeah.
To help pound the rice.
And pounds her as fine as the rice.
Is this where South Park is from? Is he gonna serve this guy, his wife, as like chili or something?
But she's okay, right?
Places a pot on the hearth and begins to cook peasant dinner from the flesh of his now dead wife.
Mmm.
The rice go.
It's in it. It's like a...
Oh.
It does have rice in there.
Yeah, it's like a stir fry.
I was a little worried he wasn't going to serve it with rice. I guess this is better, though. If you're going to serve someone their own wife, do it with rice, at least. Take some of the sting out of it.
I just saw that... Like, in calligraphy in my head at a restaurant somewhere.
If you're going to serve a man his rice, or his wife, do it with rice.
Yeah. TM. Chef Gordon.
Like, hanging on, like, the wall of I don't know. Like, Zaxby's has all that shit on the wall.
It's just you giving a thumbs up with a lens flare on your teeth.
It would be fun to do, like, a folklore-themed fast food restaurant that's just a wall full of horrors.
Yeah.
With little references like that. Chicken Little Burger.
Yeah, but, like... No one's going to keep coming to our restaurant when they look at the menu and it says wife parentheses with rice.
What about...
Well, I mean, they can't keep coming back unless they remarry.
What about cheerful hell dumplings?
What?
What if we served also some cheerful hell dumplings?
Yeah.
These dumplings went to hell and back, pursued by a laughing woman.
They didn't come
back. Land on your plate.
They were only a little bit on the ground. It's fine. Don't worry about that part.
What other fun food have we encountered?
The underworld really seals the flavor in. I don't know. A bunch of apples. I can't think of a lot of foods.
The apple of Discord pie.
We just did sausage with metal cooked into it.
That's true.
This is a bad restaurant.
Metal mouth sausage.
Doesn't seem great. I think it's going to be hard to get funding. Strong on theme.
Very strong.
Weak on food and flavor.
So he sees the old man coming in from the forest with wood. So he puts on the woman's clothes and then uses his tanuki magic to also put on her body.
Mm-hmm.
So that he can trick him into thinking it's his wife. Yeah. And he sets the dinner before the old man, who had forgotten his enemy in his great hunger. Chopping wood is hungry work.
Yeah, that'll do it.
When he had eaten his fill, the tanuki shakes off the clothes and assumes his own shape, says to the peasant, "You're a nice sort of person to seize animals and talk of killing them. Well, now you're caught in your own net. It's your wife you've eaten, and if you want to find her bones, you have only to look under the floor." And runs out in the forest. The peasant is frozen cold with horror when he hears this, as you probably would be.
Sure. Does he like it?
No, this is not his fetish.
No, I mean, did it taste good? Did he enjoy it?
I mean, he ate it all.
He likes it a little bit.
Now he's got a taste for it.
He takes a moment to recover, and then he finds the bones. He buries them in the garden and swears to avenge his wife.
Did we just become a true crime podcast?
Yeah, we did. So this is why, like, be nice.
Be nice is the moral.
Karen and...
2019. Don't be nice.
Karen and Georgia... do it better. I want to step on their toes too much. But yeah, like, don't just fuck politeness is their thing.
Don't just help an animal that's tied to a ceiling. You're right.
Yeah.
That seems like a bad thing to do.
When your husband put it there for reasons.
You're saying respect your husband, ladies. That's the moral of the story.
I'm saying fuck politeness.
Respect his moral authority. Don't
unless you want to be served with rice.
That's in the Bible, I think.
Maybe you're into that.
a reverse vor fetish is what you're saying. You don't want to be... No, that is vor. That you want to be eaten.
That is still just vor.
Yeah. Regular vor.
But like intense.
Yes. Sort of a very particular focused kind
of culinary vor.
Mm.
The preparation is as important as the swallowing.
Also probably a pretty bad restaurant.
That can't be the title, right? That's going to mess up our SEO for the rest of our lives.
What, culinary vor? I don't know that we can compete with certain other podcasts in that corner.
Let's see if we can find something else.
All right, so then he sat in his cottage weeping bitterly, knowing that he would never be able to forget that he had eaten his own wife.
Did he want to?
To eat his own wife?
Forget.
I mean, probably.
So he, if he had his way, he could just say...
That
like,
never happened.
That never happened. It's all fine.
I'm not guilty.
She died of a heart attack or something. It was totally normal.
He wants the blue pill.
Who even ever had a wife?
For the red pill, which is...
I've only ever known a pair.
Yeah.
Blue pill is the one where you stay in the matrix, right?
Yes.
He wants the blue pill.
Yeah.
He can wake up and think, oh, she died years ago. I had a fever dream about eating her.
So while he was weeping and wailing, the hare happened to pass by and, recognizing his voice, came in and
started giving him a massage.
Hey, buddy, what's up? What's up, my man?
It's been a while.
So the man tells the hare everything that happened. The hare is very angry on his behalf and promises to help get revenge. So the hare searches the house for materials to make an ointment, just a generic house ointment.
Bunny ointment.
For, like, a lubricant?
First things first.
An ointment for what? Like, just, like, a sticky substance?
Yeah, for fixing things.
For what, though?
I don't know.
To make it go or make it stay?
Well, he sprinkles the ointment, puts it in his pocket.
I'd never really considered that ointments only serve one of those two purposes. Does it make it go or does it make it stay?
Yeah, usually. It's one of the two. I mean, most things.
So, the hare goes and knocks on the door of the tanuki. Sorry, he also grabs a hatchet before he leaves.
Important detail.
Yeah.
Then he bids farewell and goes into the forest. He makes his way to the door of the tanuki and knocks, and the tanuki had no cause to suspect him of anything, because the tanuki cannot together friendship in his brain. And also, it's a nice hatchet. He wants that hatchet now.
Sure.
Tanuki operates on king logic, which is, shiny. I see a thing and I want it
take.
Now. So the hare was counting on this, because he was pretty familiar with the tanuki's character and all of his ways.
Sure.
So he invites him out for a walk around the forest, and they wander around having pleasant conversation. The hare absentmindedly chops down branches and things with the hatchet as they're going, like you do when you're on a walk with a friend and a hatchet.
Mm-hmm. It sounds, I think it'd clear your head.
Yeah,
thwacking.
A good stress reliever, probably.
Yeah, good exercise, for sure. Got your cardio, you've got your hatcheting. But after he'd cut down a good big tree, he declares that the wood from it is too heavy for him to carry home.
Tree.
So now the tanuki has a new aim, which is, I want all this wood. So the greedy tanuki says, this is no weight for me. So they collect all the big branches, and the hare binds them tightly to the tanuki's back. And they trot back to the house. The hare is following the tanuki and formulates a plan at this point, so apparently he had not completely thought this through.
I can appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta leave a little wiggle room. Just improvise.
Like, it keeps things fresh and exciting.
You gotta see all the variables before.
When they reached his house, the hare quietly set the wood on the tanuki's back on fire.
Mm-hmm. With what?
Hare magic.
Fire maker.
A match.
A laser.
A big magnifying glass.
Tanuki was distracted with something, doing something else. Who knows what? They're walking to a house. I don't know if he's putting a kettle on or what. But he only asked what the crackling noise he started to hear was. And the hare says, oh, that's just stones rolling down the side of the mountain.
Ain't no thing.
Ignore how close it sounds. So the tanuki.
You know how deafening it is and how hot you are.
And the tanuki is content with his answer and continues doing whatever it is he's doing. Makes a few more queries, and then his fur catches fire and he starts to panic. So he shrieks and he lets the wood fall from his back, and the hare comforts him and says, hey, I have an ointment to fix the burn.
It's gasoline.
So he spreads it on like a bamboo leaf and uses that to apply it to the wound, and the ointment burns a lot worse.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. The tanuki shrieks and the hare laughs and runs and tells his friend about the cool trick he just played. Like, look, bro, I know this guy killed your wife and fed her to you.
But I got
tortured him.
I got him so good.
But I'd pepper on a burn wound.
Is this the first sick burn?
Yes, this is the OG sick burn. So the old man is just sad to hear this.
Like, you didn't do it.
I mean, that's funny and all. Great
that's
laughs.
A good goof.
That would probably have been a better revenge for the, like, snack ruining than cooking him.
When the stakes were a little lower.
Right. But the only way we're going to be rid of this guy is to kill him for sure.
Yeah.
And he's only temporarily inconvenienced by his back burns. Mm. So they puzzle over it together, and they decide they're going to make two boats. A little boat with wood, and a bigger boat with clay. So the hare and the old man begin working on their boats. Crafts project, gets your mind off your recent loss.
And then months later, their plan commences.
Yes.
Yeah.
The hare goes to the tanuki, invites him out to a great fish catching. The tanuki is still pissed at the hare for...
Fuck you, you burned me.
Right.
But he is very hungry and weak, and fish do sound pretty damn good, so he goes with him.
Has he not eaten on his own power?
I mean, I guess he's just been bedridden.
Yeah, I guess so.
Harder to steal things. And so when he goes to the shore, he sees the two boats, and they're painted to look exactly the same, just different sizes.
Yeah.
So he wants the bigger one to hold more fish. And he leaps in.
Yeah.
And the hare gets into the smaller one, and they go to the middle of the lake. And once they're at the deepest point, the hare takes his oar and cracks the clay boat in two. And then the tanuki falls in the water, and the hare holds him there until he's dead.
Okay.
I feel like a bag would have done it. You have to spend months building two boats to trick him to get into one of them that would crack.
To suffocate him?
Just to get him into water that you were just going to hold him down under anyway?
Yeah.
Maybe he's too big to, like, throw in?
He was bedridden from burn wounds.
Yeah.
Could have just said, like, come get in the stream or, like, come get into the river. It'll help your burns feel better. The nice, cool water, and then drowned him or stabbed him or shot him. Blown up his house.
So the hare drags the dead body of the tanuki to the old man. It's like, look, I did it for real this time. They rejoice, and he takes the hare into his house, and they live together all their days in peace and quiet in the mountains.
Married?
Who needs a wife?
Common law hare marriage. The end.
Did they stuff the waterlogged tanuki and put it on the mantle?
Yes.
Yes.
They made a table out of him.
They did marry each other, right?
Yes.
So is the moral of this story just know somebody who will solve your problems for you? Or yeah. at least get revenge for you?
The moral of the story is get you a bunny who does both.
Moral of the story is finish the job.
Don't stop at rubbing pepper into the burn wounds. You gotta finish him off.
Don't stop at tying it to a ceiling. You waited for days for the Tanuki to show up, but you didn't have, like, wood and stuff ready for that? Mm-hmm. You know this shit's magic.
Fucking follow through on your plans.
Like,
he was gonna cook it alive?
He was gonna skin it, kill it, cook it, and they were gonna eat it.
Just kill it first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why does it need to be alive for that part?
Unless it's an old Japanese recipe that calls for
one live Tanuki.
Boiling a Tanuki alive or something.
Yeah, the struggling makes the meat more tender.
It just loosens it up right at the end. Wouldn't that just...
because what I know about intense fear is it makes you feel very loose.
Boy, Tanuki's got to be pretty gamey, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that.
I can't imagine it's like a good meat.
It's not good eating.
Probably not, like, choice. I gotta look at a picture of a live Tanuki.
I mean, it's like a dog, basically.
Yeah, so probably not good to eat.
Probably not delicious.
So, you could solve a lot of problems by just, the moral is, do it right the first time, I guess.
It was a big mortar, huh?
Big what?
It fit a lady in it. I'm just now thinking about that.
It did fit a lady. Now, he did apparently take the bones out off screen, so he didn't just... He
deboned her first.
Yeah, he shucked a lady.
He shucked a human woman.
I feel like it would be easier to just ground that in too.
The bone bits?
Yeah, the bones probably. And everything. Yeah.
But he needed it for his goof.
Yeah, at some point he managed to get bones out of lady and under floor.
Maybe not all of them.
Probably not. I mean,
maybe just pieces.
Most bone, big bone.
Like, chunk of bone. He's like, he'll know.
Yeah, if there's a human skull in here.
Even if it's cracked. Get it.
Yeah.
It's a lady.
Probably.
Could have just taken pictures. Like, as he went, like, look, it's a whole thing. Here's some photos.
Here's a slideshow.
I promise it is your wife.
Just do some nice paintings.
It's the DNA evidence. Because, like, you don't really know. He said, like, oh, I just served you your wife. And you're like, well, prove it.
Is that how you would approach that, Gordy?
I would probably want to confirm that it is true. Somehow. If you said, like, I just fed you your wife. Take that at face value. Do you say, like, well, how, like, not, like, I don't know.
So your
prove
first,
it, right?
Your first response in the situation of someone saying, all right, you bastard, you're going to cook and kill me? You just ate your wife. What of it? Would be like, no, nope, I didn't do that.
I did not.
Not denying it, but you, like, how do you know they're telling the truth? Maybe they're just messing with you. Maybe they're doing something else. You can't trust them. Confirmation. Get receipts.
Well, he did. It was bones in the floor.
That works. If they showed me that, then yeah, that'd be weird.
Can we just talk about the overall escalation of the story?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
This scan, because of seeds, stomped on.
Or something. Maybe it was snack cakes. We don't know what the snacks were. Could have been some good little Debbies.
Whatever it was, did not require two lives as penance. Three, actually. No, only two.
Yeah, just two. Yeah, the snack situation is definitely not worth killing over.
Twice.
I like snacks a lot.
Sure, who doesn't?
They're great. Can get more snacks. And yeah, if you have this neighbor who is being obnoxious about ruining and or stealing your snacks... Kill them is not the first response. So, to that level, the peasant deserve a little bit of comeuppance. Kindly elderly wife who pestled through a bunch of, like, a week's worth of rice with her feeble old lady arms and was tired and just wanted a little bit of help. She did not deserve this fate.
No, she did not.
So I don't know. This peasant does not seem like a great guy. Because not only is he cheating on his wife with a bunny.
Who made up the plan at the end?
To do the boat thing?
Yeah.
I think they came to the conclusion together. Because they spent a couple hours or days mulling it over.
So they're both bad at plans.
Yeah, they go for the most over-the-top response to a problem.
Like, farmer's initial plan, capture, skin, kill, cook, eat.
Yes.
And Rabbit's plan was kind of jazz. Like, woods jazz.
Woods jazz.
Woods free, murder jazz.
Freeform fire jazz.
It's all about the tortures you don't do.
Yeah.
And in that you don't kill them at the end.
Well, he was just like, I mean, it's... He's like, well, we got this wood now. I could use that. That could be part of the plan, I guess.
Right.
And then the third plan is two terrible boats.
Right.
I guess they do get to keep one of the boats at the end.
Right.
Yeah, like so they now did, the two they of do, them can go on romantic fishing trips.
They do own a boat, so it's not wasted effort. But yeah, I mean, what do you do instead?
We provided a lot of options, I think.
Yeah.
If you just wanted to do it in the Tanuki's house, you could waterboard him.
I don't know why just a straightforward murder is not on the table here.
I don't know why it never is in these stories.
Yeah, like if that's...
They're always so wild.
Like if that's what you want, you don't have to like... Unless you just want like kind of the grim pleasure tricking them into their own demise. Like if that's the revenge that's just going to like do it for you.
But you only kind of did because he fell in the water. He could have gotten out, but you had to do a little bit of extra effort to keep him under.
Right.
But like, so unless... it's not even that great of a trick.
But
yeah, like that to me is the most bonkers part of the story. Because I feel like most folk tales are just like, and he fell in the water, and because no one is taught how to swim, he just drowned, and that's no. normal.
No, he was a champion swimmer.
Yeah.
He was known for swimming.
Yeah, like they had to have this gruesome, intentional drowning scene in this.
But again, like unless you kind of get off on that sort of twist or like luring them into the trap and that's the revenge fantasy that you want, like why not just knock in the front door and go at him with a crowbar or something.
Or a big rock.
Right.
Well, I think they're trying to make the greed of the Tanuki his downfall.
Yeah, and they did it bad.
Yeah.
Right, like he just wants a thing. But which like, is fine. Like that can be pretty greedy. But like he carried the wood himself, so it's not like he stole it. The rabbit said, "I don't want this," and he's like, "Well, I do.
Mine."
And then he did the hard labor to get it.
Yep. He wanted the hatchet too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did forget that, I guess.
Like if he got wood, many wood trumps hatchet.
Right. That's
we
more
do
thing.
Know that.
If you're trading in Catan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many, many wood is better than one hatchet.
I'll give you many wood for one hatchet.
Although one hatchet does get you many wood.
That's true. It makes more wood. Mm. Teach a man to hatchet. he woods for a lifetime.
Like, it would have been better if the Tanuki just got his hands on the hatchet and somehow cut his own dumb head off accidentally.
Yeah, in his haste and eagerness to own a hatchet.
Yeah.
Would have been better.
And he's trying to do cool tricks.
Why not just poison the good snacks in the first place? Like, if you're going to kill the dude.
You mean like you deal with every other pest?
Yeah.
Right.
You leave out poison whatever?
Right. Like, if he's stealing all your good rice crackers, just like get a little bit of arsenic in them.
Or any number of animal traps.
You poison that zebra cake you keep leaving out.
Right.
Like, how about a snappy jaw trap?
A
like
what?
For a bear.
A jaw trap?
And you just put a zebra cake in the middle of that.
That'll lure a bear. You gotta be careful with zebra. They're called zebra cakes. They do lure bears. I'm not sure why they're called zebra cakes, if I'm honest.
Well, they lure a lot of big game animals. A bear would eat a zebra if he had a chance.
Bear would?
I'm sure.
Probably.
I'm going to keep harping on this, but he waited a long time.
Yes.
For the snack trap.
Yeah, days.
Just use a rock. Just a big rock. Like, if you're already waiting, just have it above him. And then when he shows up, hit him with a big rock. Make him be under a big rock.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, his wife's at home trying to just keep house while her husband's out gallivanting with hares and plotting the demise of Tanukis, and all she wanted was a little bit of help.
Just an extra hand.
While we're talking about Home Alone, that probably would have worked for Kevin McAllister, too.
A big rock.
A big rock.
Or a poisoned zebra cake.
Also probably pretty good for staving off wet bandits.
I feel like we're hitting on something here. I think it's time we go back through every story we've ever read and we find out which ones you can and cannot solve with a big rock.
I think this should be a segment going forward.
I feel like
just quick check in.
Can we solve this with a big rock?
quick check in. Is this a big rock story, yes or no?
Can we also solve it with a big The Rock?
Yes.
Often, yeah. I bet The Rock could drown a Tanuki, too.
Or crush one if you dropped a big Dwayne Johnson.
Probably.
Yeah, he's just, like, leaning against his arm in a sideways pose and just falls.
Gives
like,
him the Tanuki's
like
elbow.
Down. Yeah, real casual-like. And then he raises one eyebrow. Cut scene. Movie over. Tanuki Gun. Credit scene. Man and Hare are just gorging on zebra cakes while his wife labors tirelessly in the background.
On food he's not going to eat.
Yeah, on the healthy
good
stuff.
Because he only craves zebra cakes.
Right. That's the trap with zebra cakes. Once they get you, you don't get out of that trap for a while. The only way to win the zebra cake game is not to play.
I think this is going to help us solve stories a lot quicker, because I think we did it this time.
Fix it with a rock?
A big rock.
Big rock.
I feel good about it.
I mean, the problem is that it does work.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what else to say now, because the answer is a big rock. Drop a big rock on the Tanuki. There you go.
All right. We had mentioned that this might be like a true crime podcast.
Yeah.
Of folklore. I think good, like... It's gone. The name of the black comedy. A good black comedy twist on this. The Hare and the man set up the wife's death
so that they could be together.
And all the Tanuki killing is to get rid of that last witness. Death Trap. That's the one. That's the black comedy I was after. A good death trap twist to it.
Uh-huh.
And so later it ends with
Tanuki's just a fall guy.
Yeah. But then the Hare and the man start getting all
handsy.
Twisted around each other as well, like all paranoid and weird.
And then everyone ends up under different big rocks.
Yeah.
Which are tombstones.
The end sequence is just a bunch of boulders.
In the end, the big rock always wins.
We are always under the thrall of big rock.
Rock beats paper and scissors.
What do you call the like global industry that produces the big rocks that they need? Is it big rock?
It's big rock.
Like the lobbying group, you say, oh, you're just under the thumb of big rock.
Who would you cast in a death trap style movie of Hare and man conspire to kill wife using Tanuki?
Paul Giamatti is the Tanuki's voice.
Yeah.
That's all I got. That's all that came to mind immediately.
Macaulay Culkin is the Hare's voice.
Sure.
He needs work.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's a man who would be in love with a hare? Who in Hollywood fits that?
Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser sounds good, yeah.
Passing out fucking gimmies to people who need work.
And Jennifer Aniston as wife, as usual. For any stand-in.
You also need work. The work is you get killed and rice.
Betty White would be an adorable old lady.
Brendan Fraser and his wife, Betty White.
Yep.
Perfect.
Beautiful. So thank you, our pal, for recommending this story to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to Day Dude for sponsoring this episode.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As well as The Legend of Griff.
Go check out that book.
Check out The Legend of Griff by Richard Sparrow.
With your human hands or robot hands, depending on your preferred method of reading. Thank you to all of our patrons for keeping us in business, continuing to do strange things, sending us odd things like a 10-legged polar bear handmade plush, which is gorgeous and wonderful, and many Canadian candies, and a signed book. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To our top-tier patrons, Sarah, Maya, Robert, Mersey, The Day Dude, Pyrus, Monkey King, Tally, Liz, Grace Ambassador of Bus, May the Wheels Never Cease, MC Atnip, Jeremiah, I'm Trapped in a Thank You List Factory, Haley, Time for Tim to Rebuild the Western Reaches, Better, Faster, Stronger, Dom, Justin, Lily, Jenna, Jen, Heather, and her tentative hopes for a less dumpster fire-esque year.
Thank you always, Doug.
Thanks Doug.
Thank you John Waterbottle. Thank you John Waterbottle.
Thank you Roald Dahl.
Thank you Roald Dahl.
Thank you the Neon.
Thank you the Neon.
Thank you Knives.
Thank you Knives.
Thank you Yonder Toad.
Thank you Yonder Toad.
Is that all of them? It's been so long.
That sounds right.
Thank you Big Rock.
Thank you Big Rock.
That might be it.
That's
for this one.
All right. Thank you Vore Restaurant.
Yeah, thank you Culinary Vore.
Thank you.
We're what the folklore. That's how it works. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after. This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.